Good morning. It's really good to be back after having a week off. Really appreciate Kyle stepping in to preach for me last week, but it's always good to be back up here. It's good to have guests with us today as well. I'm thankful for you and your encouragement. It's our goal to glorify God in everything that we do, and we invite you to let us know if there's ever any questions or any thoughts you have about what we do in our services today. So back in January, I preached a lesson titled, The Joy of Life. And that lesson served as an introduction to a study of the book of 1 John. And we needed to push pause on that study last month, but we're ready to pick it back up now and hopefully continue with it a bit more consistently in the coming months, Lord willing. So as a quick review, since it's been a few months, we looked at the first four verses, 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4, which serve as an introduction to the letter. In those verses, John tells us about the Word of Life. And the Word of Life is Jesus, right? So Jesus is the Word of Life. And we see in it that Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal, but John explains that our eternal Lord became human and he came to give us eternal life. Then we looked at how John kind of establishes, he lays out two goals for his readers through the book of 1 John. First, he wants us to embrace our fellowship with God. That begins here in this life. We can be at fellowship with him now. But also, he wants us to find joy, to find complete joy in the things that he's written. So as we read the rest of the letter, know that this is intended to give us joy, to give us reason to rejoice in the time that we have here on earth. And so today's lesson then is about walking in the light, walking in the light. If you don't have a Bible out yet, I ask you to take one out and open up to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7 is where we draw the title of our lesson this morning. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. So in our lesson today, we're ignoring the chapter break. We're going to start at verse 5, and we're going to go on into chapter 2, all the way actually to verse 14 in chapter 2. I want to highlight six things. It won't take that long, but six things that our text reveals to us about what it means to walk in the light. And again, going back to verse 4, all of this is so we may be joyful, so we may find complete joy. So what do we need to know about walking in the light so that our joy might be complete and we can find the joy of this life? First, we see that walking in the light means walking with God. It means walking with God. I know Luke just did a fine job reading verses 5 through 7, but I want to reread those one more time. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. So, going back to verse 5, we have that statement that God is light. God is light. And that's a pretty profound statement when you stop and think about that. I think there's at least two things that we can take from that here in 1 John 1. First, saying God is light is a testament to God's holiness, to God's purity. Right? The end of verse 5 says, in him there is no darkness at all. Right, there's no shades of gray with God. There's no yin and yang or any of that. He is purely light with no darkness at all. James would say every good thing, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. No variation or shifting shadow at all. It's James 1 and verse 17. There's no gray areas with God. God is always good, and he stands in perfect contrast to darkness. And darkness is just the absence of God, right? When we think of spiritual darkness, it just means the absence of God. But whenever you turn on a light, what happens? The darkness scatters. It goes away. And that's what God does. God is light. And so because God is light, it's impossible for darkness to have anything to do with God. But beyond telling us about God's holiness, I think the statement that God is light, it's also to say that God is a revealer, right? God is he reveals truth. God reveals truth. In John 12 and verse 46, Jesus said, "I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." Jesus came as the light, right, so that everyone can believe in him, so we don't have to stay in darkness. He came to reveal the truth. God's light reveals what the darkness conceals. And God's light, it just shows us the reality of things. Right? It shows us what is true in every sense of the word true. And in that line of thinking, it shows us our spiritual reality. God's light shows you your spiritual reality and where you are, where you stand with God. And we'll see how that works in just a few minutes. That thought about looking at our own spiritual reality and letting God's light reveal our spiritual reality is going to play out in the next few verses here. But look at verse 7 for just a moment first. Verse 7 of chapter 1 is one of my very favorite passages. It says again, "If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." When you stop and think about the spiritual blessings we have in Christ, forgiveness of sins, being cleansed of our sins, and fellowship with one another, I don't know if it gets any better than that, right? Those might be the top two, that we can be cleansed of our sin and we have fellowship with other believers. But how do we attain those things? Well, it says, if we walk in the light, we have to do what we're talking about today. We have to walk in the light if we want our sins to be cleansed and if we want that fellowship. So how do we walk in the light? How do we take this, descriptive language and apply it to real life? Well, if you think about Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So we walk in the light when we walk with God, right? We walk in the light when we read the word and when we do what the word says. Remember what we learned about the word at the beginning of 1 John? That the word is Jesus, right? And so when we walk according to the word, as Psalm 119:105 tells us to, when we walk according to the scriptures, we are walking with the Lord. That's what that means. That means, if we carry that thought out, two other things with us. When we walk in the light of God's word, what does it say we have? We have fellowship with believers. And the second thing, the blood of Jesus. When we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Forgiveness and redemption are found by those who walk with God. They're found by those who walk with God. And so we have to remember as we continue on from here, 1 John is a letter written to saved Christians. John's not writing to people who are not saved yet. He's not writing to people who have not repented of their sins and put on Christ in baptism yet. Okay, he's writing to saved Christians. And so for those who have put on Christ, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from our sin as long as we walk in the light. And that's a pretty huge statement with huge implications for us, that the blood continues to cleanse us of our sins if we continue to walk in the light. So let's see what else that means. Walking in the light means being honest with yourself. So then we talked about this idea of God is light, meaning God reveals the truth, right? So God's going to reveal spiritual reality to us. We're going to read verses 6 through 10, and I want you to notice that word "if" at the beginning of every single verse, from verse 6 on down through 10. Every verse has an "if," okay? And so this passage almost sounds like a conversation. It's one of the times when the writer kind of anticipates the counterpoint that someone might bring up. And so he goes ahead and addresses that counterpoint in his writing, okay? And in doing this, John reveals two big lies, two mammoth, Goliath-sized lies that people often tell themselves, that you might have told yourself, that I've told myself at times. Okay? So see if you can spot those. It's not a secret. He tells it pretty plainly to us. But look for those lies as we read verses 6 through 10. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so we see here two spiritual lies we often tell ourselves. The first is found over in verse 6, right? If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we're not living according to the scriptures, we lie and do not practice the truth. The other big lie is in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Both are lies. And again, these are very common lies that people tell themselves, we might tell ourselves all the time if we're not careful. And so if you notice what he does here, he kind of takes a left and right approach, right? A very liberal way of thinking about what it means to be a Christian of, I can do what I want and I can live however I want to. I can live with my girlfriend outside of wedlock. I can go hang out at the bars all I want to. I can watch whatever movie, listen to whatever music I want to watch or listen to. I can use whatever language I want to use. I can do whatever I need to do at work to, get the job done. And I'm still in fellowship with God. That's this way of thinking over here on the left. And John calls it personal liar. He says, if that's your way of thinking, you are a liar. Okay? And so what does he do? He brings the argument back to reality in verse 7. He says, no, you can't walk in darkness. You can't walk in such a way that you're just ignoring or not following scriptures and be in fellowship with God. He says, you have to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Right? In verse 7. So he brings it back to the middle. We have to walk in the light. You can't just continue living a sinful lifestyle and be in fellowship with God. And so for those that walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us of our sin. But then John takes that pendulum again, kind of this conversation he's having with the audience, and he takes that pendulum too far to the right, too far to the other side, to this guy in verse 8 that says, I have no sin. I used to sin, sure. But I've been a Christian for a long time and I've repented of all my sins and I have brought every single one of my sins to God in prayer without exception and I don't sin anymore. I'm beyond that. I'm self-righteous, right? That's a self-righteous attitude. I'm just beyond sin. I don't do it. That's not me. It's much like the Pharisee, Luke 18. Remember the Pharisee, Luke 18, verses 11 and 12, who said, God, I thank you that I am not like all those other sinners. That's the guy in 1 John verse 8. God, thank you for making me different than all those other sinners out there doing all those things. All the sinners that I live next to, all the sinners I work with, the sinners I see on social media or on TV. I'm so glad, God, that I'm not one of those sinners. Thank you. That's the guy in verse 8. And again, John says you're a liar. He says, you're a liar. It's not true. And so in verse 9, he re-centers us again. He brings out the truth of the situation. He says, you have to confess your sins. Right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. So instead of the Pharisee from Luke 18, we need to become like the tax collector in the same passage there in Luke 18, verse 13, who says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Be merciful to me, the sinner. He ends in verse 10 saying, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So both sides are wrong, right? Whether you say, you know, my sin's not a big deal because God's grace has covered me and I can just continue living the way I want and be at fellowship with God, that's not right. If you say, I don't even have sin, I'm beyond that. Both of them are not right. God's word is not in you. And you're trying to make God a liar. Now, as he goes into chapter 2, he's not changing the subject. Okay, he's not changing the subject as we go into chapter 2. And in fact, I think he's continuing to address both the left and the right mindset on this in the first few verses in chapter 2. It's true for all of us. But I think what we read in the first couple verses kind of addresses this guy over here on the right, this self-righteous man. And then he goes on in verses 3 through 6 to get back to this guy who thinks he can just do whatever he wants and still be in fellowship with God. And so let's look at that. First he says, walking in the light, it means depending on Jesus. Don't ever forget Jesus' role in your walk in the light. Verses 1 and 2 of 1 John chapter 2. It says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And so again, that first sentence from verse 1 is so important. It's important for everybody. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. It is not okay to sin, ever, period. It's not acceptable, it's not permissible, it's not tolerable, whatever way you want to describe it, sin is not okay, ever. John says, I'm writing these things so that you will not sin. Okay? And again, it's very similar. We read this throughout the New Testament. You think of Romans 6. What did Paul say in Romans 6? The end of verses 1 into verse 2. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Because that's the exact attitude that people who live over here have, right? I can continue to live in sin. Shall we continue to do that? Paul says, no, may it never be in Romans 6 in verse 2. So, go back to chapter 1 verse 8 just a minute. This other guy who says, if we have no sin, right? I don't have any sin. I'm righteous because of my righteous actions. Right? John says the truth is we all have sinned. And we all do sin. And so that's kind of complicated. We kind of have to try to thread this needle, right? How do we thread this needle if it's really easy to get off base and to go too far to the left or to the right. A lot of people do end up too far to the left or to the right on this. But thankfully, John threads the needle for us. And so if we follow his line of thinking here, we see how to find that balance, where the truth is. Okay? What we need to understand is walking in the light does not mean we have no sin. Right, go back to chapter 1, verse 7. Walking in the light does not mean you have no sin or that you don't ever sin. Otherwise, if you had no sin, what would you need the blood of Jesus for? Right, and surely we are not going to say that the blood of Jesus is without value, without significance, right? We need the blood of Jesus because we sin, because we have sin. And so while we know those who walk in darkness sin, the truth is, even those who walk in the light sin. Okay? The question is, what do we do about it? What do we do with that sin? The guy in verse 8 either ignores it or is oblivious to it. He thinks he's beyond it somehow. Okay? What do we do with it? John says, you need Jesus. That's what he says in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Right? Back in chapter 1, verse 9, he says we have to confess our sins. Walking in the light doesn't mean you never sin. It means you confess it when you do sin. And you're going to repent of that, right? You're going to get back in line and continue walking in that light by stopping the sin. Again, it's the attitude of the tax collector from Luke 18:13. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The self-righteous allow their pride to get in the way, and they can't come to grips with the idea that we might ever sin. And so they start to forget about their need for Jesus if they're not careful. Right? They start believing the lie that they can be righteous enough on their own merit to earn salvation. And as John says in 1 John 1 verse 8, you're deceiving yourself if that's what you think. If you think you are just without sin, you're deceiving yourself. Again, Jesus calls us to be poor in spirit. If you think back to Matthew 5 and verse 3, that's how the Sermon on the Mount begins. It is by a call to be poor in spirit. That means to recognize your spiritual reality, the reality that you are spiritually destitute and in utter need of Jesus, of God's grace, of His mercy for salvation. Without Jesus as your helper and your advocate, you don't stand a chance. None of us do. Okay, so our salvation is dependent upon Jesus, right? But at the same time, walking in the light also means keeping His commandments. So again, John is threading that needle. He's bringing both the left and the right to the center where the truth is. Okay? Just because we sin, just because we need Jesus, doesn't mean we can ignore His commandments. Absolutely not. So let's read verses 3 through 6. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. It says, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's the guy back from chapter 1 and verse 6 again, right? I've come to know Him. I know Jesus. I have a relationship with God, right? But you're living in sin. Chapter 4, or verse 4 again, says you're a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And so, again, this is for everybody, right? It's for all Christians to follow. But look at verse 3 again. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. This idea of coming to know Him is consistent with the idea of fellowship that John talks about earlier in chapter 1, right? Remember verse 3, he talks about being in fellowship together with the Father and with the Son, being in fellowship with Him. Remember what Jesus said about knowing God back in John 17? We looked at this passage a couple weeks ago. John 17, verse 3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Jesus said eternal life is found where? In knowing God. That's where we find eternal life, is in knowing God. Remember this guy from 1 John 1 and verse 6? The guy who thinks he can have fellowship with God while he's walking in darkness? Says, you don't know Him. You can't do it. You're mistaken. In 1 John 2 and verse 3, we read that we know God if what? There's another if. If we keep His commandments. That's how you know God. How tragic is it that there are people out there who think they can attain eternal life without bothering to keep His commandments? That's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because it's just not true. You're not going to know God. You're not going to be in fellowship with Him. You're not going to live with Him in heaven if you don't keep His commandments. As John says in verse 4, if you think you know God, you think you can spend eternity with Him in heaven, but you don't keep His commandments, you are a liar. And I know those are harsh words, but those are the Apostle John's words, right? Not mine. The Apostle of Love, he calls you a liar if you think you can go to heaven without keeping the commandments. In verse 5, he goes so far as to say, you prove your love for God by keeping His commandments. You want to show God you love Him? Then keep His commandments. Okay, so he links this idea of love and obedience together. And this isn't the only time he does that. Love for God is linked to our obedience. In fact, you go over a couple pages to the end of the book, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. What's he say? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. If you love God, you keep his commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, what's that mean? It means you don't actually love God the way he wants you to love him. Back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 one more time. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Walking in the light means walking as Jesus walked. And that means keeping the commandments. Now, Jesus was the only one to do it perfectly, right? He lived in perfect obedience to the Father's will. To say that we need to depend on Jesus, depend on God for his grace, does not do anything to negate our need to obey him and to keep his commandments. Okay. So, John's not quite done talking about what it means to walk in the light, though. We've got to be honest with ourselves, okay? We've got to depend on Jesus, but at the same time, we have to keep his commandments. We've got to do both. But also, walking in the light means loving your brother. Loving your brother. Let's read verses 7 down through 11. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the one hand, I am writing you a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so what we find out there at the end in particular is that your love for your brother is an indicator of whether or not you're actually walking in the light. Whether or not you love your brother is a good indicator of if you're walking in the light. Now, it's not the only requirement for walking in the light, obviously, but it's a pretty big one. And if you don't love your brother, again, you're walking in darkness, which means you don't know God, right? Which means you're not in fellowship with him, and you can't expect an eternity in heaven with him. Now, John refers to loving your brother in verse 7 as an old commandment, but then he calls it a new commandment in verse 8. And that's kind of odd, right? What does he mean calling it both old and new? Jesus describes love this way back in John 13, verse 34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So how is it an old commandment if even Jesus is saying it's a new commandment? Well, Jesus himself said that you should loving your neighbor is the second greatest commandment, right? In Matthew 22, verse 39. So it's old. You've always been told to love your brother. But what makes it new is loving your brother the way Jesus loved us. Okay? When Jesus gave the command in John 13, he ends it saying, "Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Beloved, no one has ever loved the way that Jesus loved. And so even though this commandment was old, right, was given back in the old law to love your neighbor, it's Jesus' perfect example of that love that reinvigorates that old law and gives it new life. Because now we see Jesus' example. We see a way to love, a perfect illustration of love in the flesh that mankind had never seen before Jesus came in the flesh. Walking in the light means striving to love as Jesus loved. There's a lot more we could say about this. John comes back to this in chapter 3 and hits it pretty hard, so we'll address it in more depth when we get there, Lord willing, in just a couple months. But just a couple quick notes. One, we have to remember, of course, that biblical love is much different than the love the world expects of people. Over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, actually. 1 John 5 and verse 2. It says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments." And so understand, the most loving thing you can do for someone, the most loving thing you could do for another person, is to love God. Right? To love God, to keep His commandments. And in doing so, you're shining God's light. You're revealing God's light to that person by walking in the light with God. And so, love is demonstrated in that way. And it's demonstrated in our honesty, right? We have to be honest with people and care for their spiritual well-being. Finally, then, walking in the light means living with confidence. Living with confidence. Well, we'll read the last part of this passage, verses 12 through 14. It says, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for His name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. And I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Now, John uses some interesting language with the little children talk, right? In verse 12, he calls all Christians that he's writing to little children. This is likely written very, very late in John's life when he's an older gentleman, right? People believe it's late first century. So he's advanced in years, and it's a little more natural for a man of his age to be referring to people as children, perhaps. He uses this language over in 3 John 4. He says, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." And so he's just using the familial language, the language of family, that we see all the time in the New Testament, and that we should be comfortable using with our fellow Christians. This viewing our relationship in terms of a real family, right? As brothers and sisters and parents and grandparents of a great extended spiritual family. But in verse 13 and 14 then, he kind of addresses these two groups. He has fathers and he has young men. And so fathers there are probably just those who are more mature in their faith. They've been Christians for a while. And he says, you know, you know Him, right? He tells this group, you know Him. Then he talks to the young men, and those are probably those who are newer in faith. But John tells this group, you've overcome the evil one. You are strong. The Word of God abides in you. So what's the message to both groups? It's a message of confidence. It's a message of encouragement and living with assurance if you're walking with God, if you're walking in the light. He's saying you have reason to be confident in your faith. You've overcome the evil one. You know the Father. Okay, you've got this. You can do it. He's giving them confidence. And this is a message that, again, we all need to hear at times, isn't it? And it's a message that's consistent throughout 1 John. He started off in chapter 1, verse 3, writing so that we can know we have fellowship. And you look at the end of the book again in chapter 5, verse 13. What's he say at the end of the chapter, near the end of the book? Chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So that you may know. John wants Christians to live confidently. To live confidently. And you and I can live with that confidence of eternal life with God when, what? When we walk in the light. This is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you. That God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light means we walk with God. It means we walk with God. It means we use God as light to reveal our spiritual reality, right? And that we're honest with ourselves about our spiritual condition. It means we depend on Jesus and His grace. But it also means we keep His commandments at the same time. And it means that we love our brother. As hard as that can be, we've got to love each other. We've got to love one another. We've got to love our neighbor. And finally, if we live that way, that allows us to live with confidence. We can live with confidence. John was writing to saved Christians. So the question for each of us is, are you confident of your eternal life? Are you walking in the light with God? Or are you walking in darkness apart from Him? There's no middle ground. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. If you've never become a Christian, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, you can do that today. You can start walking in the light. If you are a Christian but you've been living in sin, you've been ignoring your sin or thinking it's fine because God just doesn't care if you sin or whatever, stop. Come back. If we can help you in any way, get your life right with God, please let us know as we stand and sing.